countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal. Follow our new Weanling Watch series for expert analysis and commentary from thousands of cattle sales weekly.
Now, as the global population increases, demand for food grows. Meanwhile, natural disasters, urban sprawls and climate change are contributing on a daily basis to the scarcity of land to grow that food. And it poses the continuous question, how do we produce enough food to meet growing demand in an environmental sustainable manner, affordable to the consumer, kind to the animal and enough to give the farmer a livable income from a dwindling resource of arable land? Well, with me now is Aidan Connolly, who's CEO of agri-tech company Cainthus, and who has worked in over 100 countries with vast experience in the world of agri-food and agri-tech and consumer trends. And just back from Saudi Arabia, I know where the Taoiseach was there this week on a trade mission. Good morning to you, Aidan. Just, you know, when you look at that global picture, really scary questions there about the future of food production, feeding 9 billion, with all the challenges that the planet faces as well. Should we be really worried? Or is technology, which is your area of expertise, is it enough to meet all these demands concurrently?
Thanks, Damien. As you know, I tend to be definitely an optimist. I look at donuts and I see the donut, not the hole in the middle. And sometimes I think in the food business, we do focus on the catastrophic potential outcomes of a lot of the questions that we're facing. And I'm very convinced technology is a big part of what we can do to answer these questions. I have been asked by the United Nations, FAO, they're speculating we'll need 70% more food. But when you see the improvements in productivity that farming in Ireland and around the world has continued to make, I don't think that's that big an ask. And certainly with the advent of new technology, it'll happen more easily.
But you see in Ireland, for example, the pressure is on to produce less proteins, as in dairy and beef, obviously to meet the challenges of climate. So how do we square that circle?
I suppose listening to your show over the last few weeks, I listened to a podcast because I'm in the United States and it's a little difficult to get up at 3 a.m. But in any case, I do listen to this requirement to reduce the numbers of animals and reduce the carbon footprint of our animals in Ireland. The Irish system is quite sustainable, very sustainable by of course, global standards. But the reality is that if we continue increasing productivity, we will need less animals anyway. So the idea that by 2030 we could be producing the same amount of milk or meat with 30% less animals, to my mind, makes sense. Because
okay, so is that where technology comes into play? Is that what you're saying?
Even without technology, maybe this is my simple leaving cert maths, but I think that if you gain a 2% productivity over the next 8-9 years, we get to 30% anyway. So we won't need as many animals to produce the milk and the meat.
So we can meet this growing demand for protein while reducing the number of animals and as such, reducing methane emissions?
I would see it that way. But then you bring in, as you point out, technology. What can technology do to be more precise? Precise in how we feed the animals, precise in how we apply fertilizer, precise in how we grow crops, precision even in terms of humans. We still waste an amazing amount of food. Are there ways in which we can be more precise in giving people the food and nutrients they need?
And we are becoming more food savvy, I suppose, as consumer. You call them prosumers.
That's right. Yeah, I came across this phrase. It was being used by the marketing agency Havas. They talk about consumers that are proactively making choices about food based on their ethics, based on their aspirations, based on what they think their neighbors are going to be thinking of them as they eat. And I think it's a very powerful way to think about the future, because those prosumers probably represent 20 to 30% of the people out there, but they influence an awful lot more. And in meeting their demands, which I think Ireland has been doing a great job of, Bordbia, Kerry Foods, Origin Enterprises, you know, there's a lot of companies out there trying to issue sustainability reports and respond to their questions about agriculture. But from my perspective, the demands will only increase. We will have that spotlight on our business and we need to be able to answer those questions.
Yeah, so the prosumer is obviously most of us who want to know where food comes from and how it's produced and are we doing it in an ethically and environmentally sustainable manner? And that's becoming a bigger question and bigger demand on food producers. But are we prepared to pay more for that? Because I was listening to the radio during the week and people were bragging about how, you know, they're able to make sandwiches for €1 and, you know, rather than going out and buying it. Do we need to refocus our value on food and pay more for it, if we can afford it, of course?
I think it's a great question, Damien. I was with a farmer out in California a few weeks ago, and he said, how can I go green when I'm in the red? And his point being that if food is this cheap and he's not making money, how can he accomplish some of these goals we have from a sustainability perspective? And in reality, even in my lifetime, before I emigrated from Ireland, the cost of food just has dropped tremendously. I think statistically, an Irish person is spending about 20% of their income on food. Now it's less than 10. In the United States, we're looking at numbers in the area of 7 to 8% of a person's income on food. Food is extraordinarily cheap. It is a testament to the farming community that that's happened. But maybe we need to nudge it back upwards because, as you say, we are having these costs imposed on the system, costs being imposed at farm level to meet these extra demands.
Now, again, you're somebody I know that looks at trends. And to be fair, you have a vested interest here because your business, Cainthos, is involved in technology for cows, for dairy cows. So obviously, you don't want the extinction of cows to happen too fast. But in terms of our changing diet, and let's continue to talk about the Western world, which is a tiny proportion of the global population and the first world here in Europe. There is an awful lot of talk, and we are seeing so many of us changing the way we eat. We're going more towards a plant-based diet. The EU Green Deal is pointing us in that direction as well. What sort of trends are you actually seeing there, and where will we be by 2030? Will more of us be eating less protein and eating more plant-based?
It's very hard to sometimes pinpoint a specific trend because I feel as though as consumers, as people, we act almost like a two-headed monster. On the one hand, we, as you've described, we're going to the discounters and we're trying to buy food as cheaply as possible. And then we go to a restaurant and have a whole series of demands on where things came from and how they were done. And that is extremely difficult for agriculture, for farming, to try to understand which one do you want. We hear about people consuming more and more plant-based foods. But on the other hand, we also see that they're consuming more meat. We see milk production continue to grow by 1.8% a year.
And where's that demand coming from for more milk and more meat?
Well, the demand, of course, is coming primarily from Asia and where the growth of the population is, growing middle class. But it's also coming from the fact that at the same time we may say, I want milk to be produced this way or not drink milk, we're still eating more ice cream, we're still eating more yogurt, we're still eating more cheese. So it isn't always as logical as just saying this leads to that. We say we want to eat more healthily, but if you look at Beyond Meat, if you look at the Impossible Meats and the Beyond Burgers, these are products that are extremely highly processed with hundreds, potentially hundreds of ingredients. Yet the consumer will tell you that they're trying to eat more healthily. So when we look at alternatives to milk and to meat, I just wonder sometimes whether the choices are as logical as they seem.
When we talk about technology, is quality, safety and traceability a potential casualty of technology? In other words, we want, as you said, our food to be produced as naturally as possible. And if that's meat or dairy, for example, we don't want too many interventions in between. But when you talk about technology, you're kind of getting this impression of, you know, there's a lot of interference, a lot of processing involved there. Or is it complete opposite?
We're just not logical in terms of the way we reason things. We were all against plastic 2 years ago. COVID comes along and suddenly plastic is everywhere.
Well, that's not a good thing, though.
It's not a good thing, but it shows you how quickly we change our opinions and say, between this risk and that risk, I'll take the risk of too much plastic in the world. We've seen multiple examples of that. I do think technology, the sensors we see being used on farms, robots, the so-called blockchain, which is this traceability systems, those are increasingly going to be part of our future. And I think that will allow the consumers to have their cake and eat it, so to speak, to both get the sustainability requirements while still wanting to have their food to be affordable.
As you said, you live primarily in the States and you're involved in, the agri-tech business globally. Where does Ireland rank in terms of agri-tech and knowledge transfer as well?
Quite good, maybe very good. Certainly, we do see a rich base of companies getting started with ag tech ideas. Some of them have been extremely successful around the world. You think of Magro, you think of Microgen out of Carlo, you think of Nuritas. I mean, you see these companies blossoming in Ireland. And on a per capita basis, ag tech is very strong. That said, then you compare it to Israel. then you compare it to the Netherlands, then you compare it to New Zealand, where I think we could be better. They have a more coordinated approach. They've got very much a root and branch, top to bottom approach to funding and supporting tech companies as they come through. And Keyntus, as you rightly say, it's based in Dublin. It's a dairy tech company. But as of yet, we've received relatively little support or funding. Not that we needed it per se, but it shows you what could be done maybe with a more coordinated approach.
All right, we've a minute left and here's a big question. But what sort of future does food production as we know it in Ireland have as we enter a very critical phase in terms of post-COP and the climate targets that Ireland must meet?
As you gather, I'm massively positive about the future of Ireland. Ireland's producing food on an island, for 50 million people when we have a population of 5. We probably just need people not just to buy our food, but also to absorb some of the impact of that because our carbon footprint per kilo or per litre of milk is a lot lower than others. But with the use of technology, we can make big leaps in this country further forward to address some of these sustainability questions.
All right. Well, very interesting to chat to you, Aidan. As I said, the take-home message is that technology can play a huge part in meeting a lot of the challenges and the three pillars of sustainability, which is social, economic and very importantly, obviously, as well, environmental. OK, Aidan, thank you very much. Good to see you in studio here. That's Aidan Connolly there of Keyntus.